Time now for Heart to Heart. This morning brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. So this morning we're going to have a lot of fun because Terry Klunk is with us, and she's a professional dowser. And we could have done our own weather forecast, but we left Gil give us the regular one. And Terry has been exploring consciousness, spirituality, subtle energy, and the healing arts for many years. She's a professional dowser and member in good standing of the American Society of Dowsers. Terry and her husband Steve teach classes in beginning to advanced dowsing techniques. And a lot of you, I'm sure, are familiar with dowsing, particularly if you've ever had a well dug or things like that for finding water. But there are many other things in everyday life that you can use this valuable tool to assist you with. Everything from picking a ripe watermelon to determining how much the dealership will take for your car you want to buy. So you're really only limited with your imagination. It is such a wonderful tool, and we're going to hear much more about it this morning. So welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning.
Hi. So it's so much fun having you here, I said. And I have to tell everybody, I've actually taken one of the classes with Terry and Steve. And I've played around with a pendulum, which is a tool for dowsing for many years. But it was so interesting for me to hear more history and more uses and to sort of bring that up a notch.
Yeah, it's amazing. I myself didn't really have much information about dowsing until I got involved with a dowsing chapter when my husband and I lived in Tucson. And I found out that the muscle testing, the applied kinesiology mm-hmm. that I had been using for many years, was a form of dowsing.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but it would be.
Absolutely. Anytime you're searching for an answer, and especially a yes-no response, that's a form of dowsing.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that just goes to show that there's a lot of tools that you can use, including your own body.
Absolutely.
So there, and I know there's a lot of ways to do that with the body. I've done things, you know, with putting an arm up and down. I've done things with putting a finger through other fingers or just standing there. Mm-hmm. And seeing which way my body leans.
Right. Right. A lot of people are familiar with chiropractors using the large muscle. They'll have you hold your arm out, and they might test you for a supplement or a nutrient of some sort, and they'll try to press your arm down. So the thought behind that is that a weak muscle response is a negative response. When your muscles stay strong, that's a positive response. So you can use that yourself when you're in a store, if you have a friend with you and you want to try and see if this preparation of vitamin B right. is a good one for you. You can have hold it in your hand and have your friend try to press your arm down. If it goes down easily, that's not the one for you. If you remain strong, that yeah. would be a good one for you.
And when we say press down, we're not talking about like you're really trying to press it down.
Right.
I mean, you're just holding your arm there, and it's like you take two fingers and barely touch.
Right. Right. We're not trying to show how strong somebody is or not. Sometimes when you have these muscle-bound guys that you want to test, they think that they
yeah.
can hold strong, and it becomes a contest, and that's
yeah.
really not what it's about.
Yeah, so. It becomes a contest of wills. And it's funny, and I've actually had people it's funny, Eva, my husband and I were at an event one time, and this lady was trying to make a point, and Larry was the skeptic, Gil. I know that'll be hard for you to believe. And, you know, and she like really like whipped his arm down. And I looked at her and I thought, that's not how you do muscle testing.
Right.
But she was trying to make a point.
Right.
But you could also stand there and just hold like that supplement like near your solar plexus and see whether your body leans forward towards it or backwards, right?
Absolutely. That's called the body sway. And again, in the face of something true or something that is positive or something that is beneficial for you, your body wants to move into that energy, so it'll mm-hmm. sway forward. In the face of something negative or something that's detrimental for you, you want to move away from that energy. And this is not a conscious thing. This is a subconscious
right.
thing. So just stand in a relaxed state. Put an egg in your hand or put a pack of sugar in your hand and see what happens. It's very rare that somebody's going to move into that energy because it's not that good for you.
Yeah.
So you're going to move away from that. So, yeah, it's very easy.
But, you know,
and it's unobtrusive. So.
Yeah, I do. I like that because you can be standing in a store and it's not like you have like lots of mumbo jumbo here. You're just doing something really that nobody even realizes what you're doing.
Well, my husband loves to get his pendulum out in the store and swing it over the watermelons and the cantaloupes. And he loves to attract attention. So.
Well, but, you know, he likes that.
Yes.
And he likes people to say, what is that? What are you doing?
Right.
And that's good, too, because that spreads it. You
Absolutely.
Know, and
raises
people,
awareness.
Right. Mm-hmm. Raises awareness, and people do that as well. It's funny. So, but, you know, those are typical things that you're thinking you don't know what the answer to. And I like, Terry, that you said it really calls on your subconscious because when you think you know something, you know, you can talk yourself into an answer one way or the other.
That's very true. We have things that we think we believe about ourselves, that I'm a confident person and I can do this and this. But if I get my pendulum out and I check to see if I really do subconsciously believe that to be true, I may find that it's not. So it allows you to focus in on things that you might need to work on for yourself, and that can be very helpful.
Yeah, and that's very enlightening because people think they have a belief or they've been told growing up, this is this or this is how you are or you can't do that or, you know, this isn't a skill you have. And, you know, we internalize all that stuff and then we find out maybe it's really not true. Maybe it was their opinion.
Absolutely. But those things can be changed.
Yeah,
and we
I love
can
that.
Change those with dowsing. It's one of the most powerful parts of dowsing, in my mind, that we can adjust those frequencies and change these beliefs that we have. So,
well, now tell us a little bit about how you would go through that process of working with somebody who had a belief that you were going to help them change.
Well, if you think about a tornado creating a vortex of energy, when that tornado is coming through, it's grabbing whatever's in its path and it's moving it from one place
right.
to another. So with the pendulum, when you hold the pendulum so that it spins in a counterclockwise manner, you're creating that same vortex of energy. You
it's
are drawing energy out.
Okay.
So if you have a belief or a thought form, we can call them too. If you have this belief, you can set the intention that that belief be removed. And you get your pendulum spinning in a anti-clockwise or a counterclockwise manner with that intention, and you let it spin until it's finished. It'll pull that energy out. Then once you have done that, you've created an empty space, and nature abhors a vacuum. It's not good to leave an empty space because something will go in there.
Right.
So you want to put something in there that
you want in there.
Positive. Right. So a clockwise spin then creates a vortex that puts energy in. And that clockwise spin then you can set the intention to put in vibrant good health, the healing light of God. You can put in whatever other energies would benefit you in that moment. I like to use perfect balance and harmony because I think one of the things that we're all trying to achieve in our world is balance and harmony. So again, allow the pendulum to continue to spin until it's finished. And then you can ask the question, have I achieved my goal? Have I removed that belief code and get your yes or no?
Oh, I like that.
I always think it's a good idea to, when you do something like that, to check back in after a few days and make sure that it's still holding. We are emotional creatures and things get knocked out rather easily. So while some people believe if you do it once, it's done and you never have to do it again, I'm a little more conservative in that regard, and I think we need to constantly check in and make sure that the goals that we're trying to achieve are
right.
being met and are holding. So.
Well, because everything's changing, and I'm thinking, Terry, it's not even always did it hold, but it could have been recreated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do allergy clearings, and we talk about the fact that allergies can be created. You can be born with certain allergies.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them can be created by an emotional occurrence. If you're driving down the road eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and somebody rear-ends you, you may have a reaction to that, a PBJ after that because of that response.
Oh, you know, I never heard that about allergies could
absolutely
be, have the emotional connection.
Absolutely. So you clear that energy, but you love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue to eat them, and you can create, by an overindulgence in something, you can create an allergy too. So
now, I have heard that, but I always thought that was just from, you know, the having too much of that substance in your system.
That can
like
be,
if you
right.
eat like if you eat this, it's people are often allergic to things they eat the most of.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know,
the things that we crave are often things that we have allergies
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Because lately I've been thinking that because I've been on this protein, you know, diet, and I have eggs every morning. And the other day I was thinking to myself, you know what? I have eggs every morning. It's probably not a good thing.
Right. Right. And that's a trigger for a lot of people, eggs. There are certain things that show up very often.
Yeah. And I typically don't have that, but I thought, I don't want to create that because I love those, and I make those for my puppies, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they love that.
Oh, my gosh. They love scrambled eggs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, the emotional piece, a lot of healers and in the medical profession feel that much of the disease that is caused has an emotional component. So if we can clear those emotions, that can be really helpful in clearing the situation.
And not just the emotions. I mean, because a lot of times those emotions are causing stress, which even if you're not looking at it from an emotional viewpoint, the stress is a very physical reaction in your body.
But again, stress in itself isn't bad. It is our response to the stress
that
causes us a problem. So some people can tolerate far more stress than other people. And it impacts their health.
Okay. Well, that's very true, Terry. I never thought about that, but it is true. It is a response. So interesting.
Different way of looking at things.
Yeah, no, it really is. I love that. I love that. I love when people bring other things up for that. So let's tell people, because we talked about all the different just normal, regular, everyday things people can use for dowsing, but let's talk about some of them. I know one of the things that you use it for is finding lost objects.
Right, and I will say my husband's much better at that than I am. But I had a friend who had bought a property, and there was a set of keys that they received when they got the property, and they wanted to sell the property, and they could not find this set of keys. There were some keys on there that they had never used for mm-hmm. doors that they didn't
right.
use, and they wanted these keys. And so I the way you can look for things that are lost, if you know that first you ask if they're in the home, and when you get a yes, then you can narrow it down to what room is it in.
Mm-hmm.
Are they in the kitchen? Are they in the... So we went through the whole house, and we had so many odd responses, because I kept getting there was one location, and I think it was in the living room, and they looked everywhere. They looked in the cupboards. They looked in the drawers. They looked under things, they looked on the shelves, they looked everywhere for these keys, and had such a terrible time. And what it turned out was that in the drop ceiling, for God knows why,
somebody had
put the keys up under the drop ceiling. So, you know, sometimes there are things that are very obscure.
Oh my goodness, who would put keys in a drop ceiling? Oh my gosh, who would ever think of that?
Yeah.
And you found that?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Then there was somebody else who had... Actually, this was the president of the American Society of Dowsers. She had a pair of earrings that she could not find, and she kept dowsing, and they kept moving, and she couldn't understand why they kept moving. And it turned out that she had forgotten she had put them in her purse. So every time she moved her purse, they moved as well. So she finally did locate them in there.
Oh, my gosh. So there's some little tricky stuff.
Absolutely.
So when you think that your dowsing isn't working because things are moving around, ask yourself, what else is moving around?
Keep at it, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, dowsing, when you're looking for something, The motto for the American Society of Dowsers is Indigo Felix, and that means the fruitful search. And that's really what dowsing is all about, looking for answers. And so I like to think of it as taking something really big and bringing it down into smaller things.
Okay. All right, great. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Terry Klunk and more information on dowsing.
You're listening to Heart, brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Our racing report and Real Country Radar weather coming up after this.
Okay, everybody, we're back with my special guest this morning, Terry Klunk. And Terry is a professional dowser, as well as has her own healing practice. Which is not limited to the use of dowsing. She also uses sound healing with the energy of the Raphael Angel Harp and allergy clearings. She's I never know how to say that.
How
do you say the Reiki?
There's Yusui Reiki.
Yusui mm-hmm. and Karuna Reiki master and teacher. And she sees clients at the Anjay Wellness Center in Hanover. And we've been talking about dowsing and I wanted to mention some of the tools in dowsing. We talked about how to use your body, and a lot of times we're talking about a pendulum, right, Terry?
That's really my favorite tool, but there are other tools, and dowsers do love their toys. So probably what many people are familiar with is the Y rod, where they would cut a branch off of a tree in the shape of a Y. And when you use that, you hold it at the two widest parts, and it points down when you find water. And many dowsers believe that it's because our body is 70% water and the planet's 70% water. There's a real affinity there, and that's what helps. When you hold the intention that you're looking for water, you're going to find it because you've got that kind
and
of
connection.
And
we actually had that happen when we were building our home. We had the well driller in this area came out, and they actually asked to cut a branch from one of the cherry trees mm-hmm. on our property, and that's what they used to find the water. And then they could tell, even using that, how strong a vein of water that would be.
Absolutely. You can determine how deep the well mm-hmm. will have to be drilled. You can determine how many gallons per minute. You can tell if the water's going to taste good. There's all sorts of things you can look for. My husband does this for people, too. He does a little differently. He doesn't use the Y rod. Often dowsers will think that an apple branch will be good for searching for one thing, and a hickory branch might be good for something else, or a willow branch is good for something else. I always think, I believe that it has more to do with what's available in the location that you're at, because there are many dowsers who use plastic Y rods now. They don't even cut the branch out of the tree any longer. So, so that's one of the tools. And then what my husband does with dowsing is he'll take a map, and he will determine on the map where the best water source is. Then he goes out to the property and uses his L rods. And an L rod looks just like what we're saying. It looks like the letter L. You can make them out of coat hangers if you want to.
Right. I've actually seen people just undo a coat hanger and use them that way.
Absolutely. But he makes his out of brass, and he has some out of copper as well. And so he will walk the property then, knowing where his location
is. Right. So you like hold the short ends and mm-hmm. let the long ends, and when they go down, right?
They don't go down. They will either cross in front of you or they will open in front of you. One is a yes and one is a no. So when you reach that point where the water is, for him, they close over his heart, and that's his yes. So when he reaches that vein of water, those L rods will go closed. So doing the map dowsing ahead of time certainly saves walking 40 acres, which is what the old-time dowsers did.
Yeah, they had just to walk the whole property.
Absolutely. So that doesn't have to be done anymore, which is
yeah, we had
thing.
To do that at our property.
All over.
Well, we just went out to certain areas where we thought, based on the topography of the land, was a possibility, which, of course, is not necessarily true. But we did find an amazing well.
Wonderful.
You know, so actually, we dug two wells. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because we had one for the pond, too. So, yeah. So, I like that, too. But besides that, what are some of the – I'll tell you, when I first learned things about the pendulum. I was in a class, and what we had was a piece of thread tied to a bolt. It was that simple.
Right. Anything with a little bit of weight on the end of a string. I know someone who, when she was young, didn't have access to things, so she had a paper clip onto a piece of her hair and used that to douse. So,
oh my goodness. Now you had told me too about this paper clip thing. You have to tell everybody about that. That people would use this paper clip pendulum to determine how many children you're going to have? Tell us about that.
Well, people would use pendulums or some kind of a weight on the end of a string. A lot of you might have already experienced this. If you hold it over your wrist,
now,
a woman's wrist.
Wrist up or?
Wrist up.
So like wrist
and
up.
And so they'd hold it over your wrist, and it would swing to tell you'd count how many children you were going to have. I just talked to somebody about this over the weekend that they had done that. And so that was done for me when I was young.
And does it swing counterclockwise or just
No, it would just swing back and forth or to and fro. We didn't really get into, when it was done for me, we didn't really get into whether it was male or female. It was just how many.
Okay.
So that's often what people will do, just get a count of
They'll
how
get,
many.
So how many times it goes back and forth?
Right.
All right, so
and
Terry, how many did you get?
So for me, it got to five, and I grabbed
and
it and
whoa.
Stopped it. That's enough. And that really worried me. Well, it turns out that I actually was pregnant five times. I had three live births, but I was pregnant five times. So it was accurate.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It was pretty awesome.
And that's something growing up that, you know, you were familiar with. That's the first I heard of that.
Oh, maybe it's Pennsylvania Dutch or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Dutch area, but that could have been.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot of things. I mean, my grandmother spoke a lot of Dutch, which was always interesting. So they did the same thing. Then whether it's a boy or a girl, they would just test.
You could check. And again, you know, when you set the intention that it go one direction for boy, one direction for girl, you can do that too.
Okay, so there, I'm glad that you said that because I was wondering how you knew. So you say you're actually programming, you know,
Absolutely.
Your pendulum that if you go right and left, that means yes for me,
right.
Or that means no for me. And if you go, you know.
And again, it's not the pendulum that you're programming. It's you.
Right.
So you could pick up any pendulum and you would get a good response because the pendulum's not what's getting programmed. It's you that's getting programmed.
You're really
Absolutely.
Programming your subconscious.
Always, right.
Oh, that's interesting. So you don't have to reprogram. So once you program...
Because it's not necessary to get really attached to a particular pendulum because they get lost. I have
I
a
agree.
Woman who calls me about every 3 months to get more pendulums because she can't keep track of them. They keep disappearing. So she loves these little stainless steel pendulums that I have, and she calls me and I send her more. And I'm hearing from her several times a year.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. But I'm glad that you brought that up because a lot of times I know, you know, I've been told that, you know, if it goes clockwise, it's yes, and counterclockwise is no. But the pendulum mostly goes, for me, it goes back and forth or, you know, up and down. So if sort of like if it's going east-west, that's a no for me, and north-south, that's a yes. And
it really depends on what part of the world you're in. And in England, very often, that's how they teach it. Clockwise is yes, and anti-clockwise is no. But in this country, most teachers use the north. If it heads to the north, that's a yes. And if it goes to and fro, or side to side, I should say, then that's a no. So, but you can program yourself either way, whatever you're more comfortable with.
Right, right. And then a lot of times, sometimes I'll just say, show me a yes. And
that's really very valuable to do that. Absolutely.
You know, particularly if it's something I haven't used in a while
Absolutely.
Or something else I pick up, I'll just ask it, you know, show me a yes.
Right. And so one of the things that I love about dowsing is that it helps you to fine-tune your intuition. Most people don't think that they're intuitive at all, and they really are. But using the pendulum, especially in a with frequency and confidence, will fine-tune your intuition. So I often know the answer before I even see the response that I'm getting from my
pendulum.
Because
you're getting the answer intuitively.
Right. My subconscious is connected with that energy, because we're all connected with this energy of all it is. So,
but when people are practicing with a pendulum, it's probably best not to practice just with answers they already know, right?
Initially, that's okay, because then you're sure that you're getting a good response.
Okay.
But eventually, that's like training wheels on your bicycle. Don't continue to do that forever. And don't say things like, I'll never get this.
Okay. I'm glad you said that.
Say positive statements. I had a friend who's a very accomplished dowser, and she lives in California and her brother's in Florida. So over the phone, this is when she was first learning, she said, okay, I want you to put a piece of fruit by the phone, and I'm going to douse and see what that piece of fruit is. So they did. They went through about a half dozen different types of fruit, and she nailed it every time. And she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. And she could never replicate it again, because she made that statement,
I can't believe it.
So she didn't. So she couldn't do it again. So be very mindful of the words
language
that you use. Yes.
I know. That is so true. We've had a number of people on here talking about language, and isn't that amazing?
Absolutely. So, being conscious of the things that we say. When we make statements, when you're driving down the road and you're fussing at the guy who's ahead of you, mm-hmm. that energy is going out there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they can't hear you. They can.
I don't know. They obviously get it. I think that's what this road rage is all about.
I think so.
Everybody's picking up what everybody else is saying, and it's not always pleasant.
That's true.
So it's so true as well. So now what we talked about, yeses and nos. What if the answer is, I don't know, or maybe?
Well, one of the things that we teach when you are preparing to douse, there's a set of questions that's very important. You want to get permission to douse. You want to know, so we talk about the may I, can I, should I. May I, do I have permission to do this dousing? Can I means, do I have the ability to? Do I have the knowledge that's necessary to do this? And should I is, do I have any business sticking my nose in here?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a yes for each of those questions, then you can move forward. But if you ask a question and the pendulum just continues to spin, for me, when it's spinning like that, it's looking for a response. It's looking for an answer. So sometimes it takes a while to get one, and sometimes it is maybe.
All right. So if it just keeps spinning and you're not getting your normal response.
Right, not for me.
That's not your normal response.
Exactly.
Okay. I like that. So because, you know, sometimes you don't know. So I think it's good to let people know, you know, not everything has an answer immediately.
Absolutely. But if you get, for any of those questions, may I, can I, should I, you know, if you get a no for any one of those, put your pendulum down and don't even try it in that moment. You could come back to it again later.
Right.
But in that moment, it's not the right time, whether it's the information isn't available or maybe you're dehydrated or tired and it's not a good time for you to be doing that.
And that's a good point, because that doesn't mean that you can never ask for that. It
Absolutely.
Just means this is not the time to do it.
Absolutely.
So that's interesting.
Right.
Well, now, Terry, I don't, because I know how this goes when we get near the end, but I wanted you to talk a little bit about some of your classes coming up for people.
Okay, well, my husband Steve and I teach our classes together, and we have a great partnership. So in September, the 20th, we are offering a Karuna One Master Class, a Karuna Reiki One Master Class. Now, you need to be a Reiki Master, a Yasui Reiki Master, in order to take the Karuna Reiki. It's like the next level of Reiki, where Yasui Reiki is a more ethereal type of energy. The Karuna Reiki is a much more grounded and directed energy. So it's very powerful, and you can check our websites, and the information will be there on.
Okay. Do you want to give us the website?
We have two. We have dowsingatoz.com. That's dowsingatoz. the number 2z.com. And then Raphael and Rain is our other website. That's RaphaelAndRayne.com. So you can find the information for that there. And then in October on the 18th, we are offering a pendulum power class from 1 to 5. And that will be all about the pendulum, from beginners to advanced information. So there's something here for everybody. If you already use a pendulum, you might be interested in different ways that you can different energies you can bring to that and different ways you can use your pendulum. So
I think that's great. And I encourage people, if you have any interest in this, definitely go to Terry's website and look up the class, because it's so much fun. And you really learn so much about the pendulum and just a lot of other things. So it's really a great class. I loved it.
Thanks. I appreciate that. We always have a good time, too. And truthfully, the people that attend the class can help direct us at times, because they have more specific questions mm-hmm. and ways that they want to use the pendulum. You, for instance, with your locating animals,
right,
had some questions for us.
Lost dogs.
We had a realtor that wanted to learn what he could do to clear energies and properties, how he could be more productive in selling real estate.
Wow, so. That's great. I love that. Okay, well, Terry, believe it or not, our time together is finished. So I want to thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, Jackie, it's been really fun. I thank you for having me.
Okay, great. All right, we'll be right back after this message.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you today by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that this morning with Terry. That was so much fun. Now, remember, you can try this at home. Use something simple. Even a necklace will work, okay? So, you know, this is back to school time, which also means it's all kinds of good education coming. And Terry's got some workshops, and I do too. Coming up October 4th, we're going to do What's Your Pet Saying? It's an introduction to animal communication. And I'm being hosted by the VCA Veterinary Hospital in Lancaster in the Bridgeport area from 1 to 4. And you can get more information about that. And you can actually register by calling the veterinary clinic at 717-393-9074, and there'll be information on my website. So that's always a lot of fun. I also have another Opening Your Intuition workshop coming up Saturday, October 11th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at All As Well Associates at the Eichelberger Professional Center in Hanover, PA. So lots of good classes coming up. So if you want to develop your intuitive voice yourself and learn how you can make your daily life easier, come on out that morning, and there's lots of good information there and good practice time. So you can do some of the exercises yourself and with small groups and really come away with a lot of good information you can use. So that's all for this week. I'm looking forward to next week. I also want to remind everybody that if you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading, for an intuitive reading, you can call my office at 717-968-5289 or visit my website at jackielebeau.com, JACQUILEBEAU.com. Lots of good information there. And I also do group readings that are a lot of fun. I have one coming up, in fact, this Thursday evening. So think about that too. So have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you next Tuesday.